Hi everybody, on the show today we had Vadim Tukanu. He's a property investor, award-winning author and judo master. We cover his journey from Moldova as a judo champion to London, where he spent time in prison and ended up being an award-winning author and award-winning businessman. Seriously good content throughout the podcast. Hope you enjoy it. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram and YouTube, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Thank you very much for listening. Hiya Vadim, how you doing, mate?
I'm good. Hi Alex.
Good to have you on.
My pleasure.
Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, mate.
About myself?
Yeah.
I'm coming from Moldova. I used to do professionally judo. I'm a judoka. I used to be professional sportsman representing my country in judo. And then it wasn't viable to stay there. I really was kind of struggling financially as well, and I decided to change something. So I've just got my backpack on my shoulders and just set off towards London, actually, and which took me about 6 months. I didn't expect that long, but so been through many countries, and because I didn't have a ticket or money or passport, so I had to improvise. And then I've just arrived to London, to the land of opportunities, as I thought, and I got to learn new ways of thinking, and at first I kind of didn't have any understanding of the kind of market, let's call it, because I didn't speak English either, so it took a while, and it wasn't something that I was prepared for. I didn't have a skill. I didn't know what would I do for work, and kind of just took anything that came across. Worked a couple of factories, building sites. I had some debt I needed to pay back, and so I had two jobs. I was working at one point. I was working for 22 hours a day. That was like I was semi-human at the time, because I didn't respond properly to people, and I was just kind of it was like a dream. What happened? I actually wrote a book about this. I know as business book, more detailed kind of. But you know, the fact that I arrived here was kind of, I didn't have a status here, so I didn't have documents to work with. I didn't have no passport and stuff, so I had to improvise in that sense as well. So I worked on black market, just doing until I was caught and arrested. So kind of stayed, been in prison. So it took a while for me to understand that, look, this is not what I want to do. I had a girlfriend who got pregnant, and I was in prison at the time, and I decided I couldn't bear that, the missing them, and I decided to find a way to anything but to be in control of what's happening, because in what I was inside, whatever I want to do, I started reading, I started educating, I started learning language. I saw opportunities, but there is no chance I could use this opportunity, because I'm behind the walls and behind the bars. And I thought, like, okay, outside, whatever you do, you have a choice, you're in control of the situation. So you know, you can work a bit harder to get something, or you can create a goal and go towards it. But you know, you have an opportunity, you have the freedom to do it. So I decided to change my life, and I started binge educating and events and different seminars, and which led to me starting my first company, which Apartments of London in property company. So technically I was kind of renting an apartment and renting it back in rooms, which kind of got an income of one extra room, brought the income. So one apartment brought the income. So I thought like, well, we could just, as long as we can multiply that, you can make more money. So in 1 year, we were working very hard to get to, at the end of the year, we had about 20 something properties, and we started growing. There was a crash in the market, the 2008 recession kind of was kind of leading to the property prices, the rental prices increased. So we kind of had to do something. So we pivoted towards service apartments, which kind of the Airbnb just started at the time. It wasn't anything popular. No one knew about it. We kind of tried it and it worked. So we kind of diverted all our properties to service apartments, which led to us taking a few buildings. So it kind of, we're working really hard, working for seven days in a week, 10 hours a day, like really, really hard working, even 12 hours a day. Yeah, and that, it's kind of worked really well. So that I've been doing that for the past 8 years or even nine. At the moment, last year, it was like a very, very important year for me, because what I did, I managed to offload my business. So I put all the management on a team. So I kind of separated me and my time. I created more time for myself by leaving the business to my team. So I'm not going to the office anymore. And I focused, and I published my book as well last year. So which led to a lot of other opportunities. I started investing in cryptocurrency 2 years ago as well, quite successfully. So at the moment, what I'm doing at the moment is publishing more books. I've got a book series, a short book series that on how to books that kind of got it was born from feedback from my first book. People starting asking me many things, and I noticed that the questions were quite similar. So instead of just answering to everyone, because there's a lot of messages, I'll just write a book about it. And then I've already got four books, two are published already from the series, and three more to come within this couple of months. And I'm speaking at the events. I'm doing an event called Uncage, which empowers people to be able and do more, and not ask questions like technical questions like how do I start, what business do I need to start, or how do I find an investment, what do I invest, what do I do? Because all the answers are within us, and if we learn to listen the inside, we have all the questions already, all the answers to all our questions inside there. No one will tell us what to do. It's like going to to meet a girl and learning all these pickup lines, how to pick the girls, and then when you go there, you pick the girls, but then you eventually expose who you actually are. So you, instead of better empowering yourself and being okay with who you are, and that attracts the people who you resonate with, that kind of thing. So through exercises at event we do, we get stronger and more confident in who we are and what we need to do. So it kind of makes the water clearer in a way, the mind, and for you to get what you want. So that's pretty much, I think, in short, what I'm doing at the moment. And maybe you have a question that there's something I missed.
No, that's powerful, mate. Yeah, that's very powerful. I think the any business is just a reflection of the people that's behind it. So I completely agree with you there. When you use the analogy of speaking to a lady, if you try all these little pickup lines, you're not being yourself. It's just going to reflect back in the long run anyway. I completely agree with that in business as well. What age did you come over to London?
I've arrived at 19. I was 19 when I came.
Right, so you were in Moldova before the age of 19. You say that you were a judo.
Yes, I was doing judo professionally. At the moment, I'm second dan in judo, and I'm still doing very, very rarely at the moment. But yeah, I was doing judo. I was going to European championships, international championships, and I was representing my country at the time.
Yeah, but there wasn't much money in that over there for you.
Well, not at all. It's just struggling to actually, you know, feed my basic needs, like, you know, eating and nowhere to live, nothing to eat, you know, traveling, commuting to a training. It was a mission, you know. Every step it was a mission. So it was.
Yeah. So from the minute that you come out of prison to the minute that you read your book, No One's Business, I think it's a migrant's barefoot journey to millions. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, everybody out, take a look at that. I think you're an award-winning author, is that right?
Yes, I was awarded last year Authors Awards, Radio Works Authors Awards. And for me, that was something, I was really proud of, you know, looking at the journey from being in the cell, a young guy in a cell, in prison cell, no English, no skills, nothing, like no money, like completely nothing. I had zero everything. To after 9 years, you know, being in front of 40 authors and entrepreneurs and receiving an award, that was, for me, it was like something compared to metamorphosis.
Yeah, that's brilliant, mate. Now, and how long was it before you between leaving prison and writing the book? How many years was that?
Well, actually, I started writing it in prison because I was locked for a couple of weeks without, you know, didn't come out almost at all, just for food and coming back. And I'm very active and energetic person, and I just couldn't sit. I was walking around the room, and I had this thing in my mind. I was rolling all this 6 months. It was really, really. The 6 months of travel, it was very intense, you know, jumping off the trains, like running away from police, running away from asylum, from prisons and stuff. So it was like really, really intense. And I had this in my mind. It was occupying all my brain power. So I decided, let me just write it down, just take it off my head. And I wrote about 20 pages, and before they kind of started releasing me out for some activities outside, which I left it for a couple of weeks. And then when I looked back to read these 20 pages, what happened, it looked interesting. Okay, I was even myself interested to read what's happening further, you know. So I decided I need to write it. And when I was released, it took about 8 months to finish the manuscript. So I actually had the manuscript for the past almost 10 years, which was lost for about 5 years. I lost it. And I couldn't find it, and then it was by chance. I didn't even think about like writing, publishing it, but it just happened in a day by being flexible, by taking whatever happens, whatever comes to you, just taking the opportunities and like looking at the opportunities outside. That's how actually the book was released and published last year, August.
Yeah, congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, brilliant. You've mentioned cryptocurrency. You say you got into that a couple of years ago.
Yes.
I mean, I've been investing in that for the last 9 months or so. I wish I'd have gotten a bit earlier, but everybody thinks that, don't they?
Yeah, like property as well.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah. What's your journey been with that?
Well, my position is this. You know, I cannot do anything without people. And people are the biggest assets. I need the ability to communicate and to be able to communicate better is one of the biggest assets in my understanding. Because in general, I'm not good at most of the stuff. I'm not good at many at most of the stuff. I'm not good at anything, I think. But whatever I've done. In whatever I have at the moment, or whatever I'm knowing for, everything is due to the people I interacted, and I saw the opportunities. I presented the opportunity, and it kind of led from a passion of someone. So such happened with the cryptocurrency. We had a guy who worked in our letting agency at the time, who was really geeky, and his name is Nick. And he was like reading. He's only always online playing games. I don't know. He was, most of the people didn't understand him. But when he came one day, he said, "Look, there is this Ethereum thing, and it's going to be big, and I see so many opportunities with it. You know, it was $5, now it's $7 a piece, and you guys should invest in it." And I just saw in his eyes, I saw passion, and I saw something that drives people. That's how I do things. When I see a passion in person, I invest in the person. I didn't understand the concept. I didn't understand what it is, what's going to be with it and everything. But I saw passion in him, and I decided to actually invest a bit. And I invested a bit. It was 7 at the time, then at 8. And I saw it moving to 8, invested a bit more. And it was 10 and 11 I invested then. So as it grew in 2016, I reckon, and it grew by the end of 2016. I saw, I think it grew to it doubled or even tripled or something like that. And I started learning about it. I started looking more because I saw it, and I kind of envisaged the opportunities what this technology can create. And I started advocating this concept. And actually, at the moment, I'm working on a project, a social project. A coin that will benefit the environment and people. So that's a project, an ICO that we're working on.
Because there's that many different coins now, isn't there, for that many different things. I think people sort of get lost in what each coin does. And I mean, I know there's been quite a few of them who have they've done an ICO, the company has, and then they've just sort of run off with the money.
Yeah, the thing is, the thing about this is it's simple for me. How I look in this, and we've only invested in, I think, 4 ICOs even in the past 2 years, and it's we're very meticulous at what project we're investing. So we look at what this project does, what value it creates to the market or to the people, what exactly does, and who's behind the project. You know who. What's the team like? You know, what is their background and stuff? So if it's a good team, serious team, with a good vision, with a good product, I think that gives an opportunity. So we invest in pre-ICO before it goes to ICO. So yeah. At the pre-ICO level, that's where we go in. And we've been very successful in the past 4 projects. And we have another couple in the vision that are soon going to come up, and we're looking closely and talking to the teams, and that's what we do.
Nice. You mentioned earlier about education. You've done quite a bit of education. Was that mainly business and property stuff, or was it mind education as well?
Oh, Alex, I've there's not many courses out there that I haven't been. it's marketing, it's acting, it's singing, and it's improvisation, it's business, it's sales, it's mind, it's motivation, inspiration. Like anything you tell, I've been to the course at Coursat. I was playing piano. I learned to play piano. I've learned painting, oil painting. I like everything. I think, as many things I put my brain to, it's like creates more. I can see more. Every course I take, I start seeing more opportunities. So from the point that I didn't see that word I call it metamorphosis, because that you can't call it anything else. That, from the point that I couldn't see any opportunities to make money or to do something, to the point that like, look, there is too many opportunities, and every idea can make you, can make a lifetime opportunity. But it's just I don't have time for all of them. So. Yeah. Now I'm looking at them like, okay, what would I do? What would I love doing? What would I like to spend my time and enjoy? So that's, anything is profitable. Anything is it's possible to do money just looking at what's the approach you take to it. So, you know.
Yeah, agreed. I think people go into business solely for the money a lot of the time. And if the passion and the drive isn't behind it in the first place, the business never actually takes off or achieves what it could achieve. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. You know, there is, everything has got legs. Like every idea has got legs. You know, the main thing is the people you have there and why and the reason why you're doing it. So, you know, if you have a good reason, the bigger reason, you have a big reason for, let's call it a big why. You know, if you have a massive why, there you can't see the, you know, you jump over the challenges easy. But when the challenges are higher than your vision, then your why, then it gets difficult because, you know, you can't see why you're doing it.
Yeah.
If you put it visually.
People have a lot of self-belief issues as well, don't they? They look back at maybe what's happened in the past or they get anxious about what could happen in the future and they start putting up barriers and blockades in their own mind as to why they can't achieve stuff, don't they?
Yes. That's true. And, you know, if you think that I also make an analogy to a judo professional, like I'm a second dan in judo, but, you know, of course, I'm better at judo than you are, and but first of all, I wasn't before I started. So, you know, at one point I was zero at level zero, and I was making mistakes. I was losing, and at the second point, we cannot be, you know, professional to everything. So we cannot compare me and you. We cannot compare when it in judo terms, but we also cannot compare in what you know. So Each of us knows something better than most others, you know, looking at back at our experience and everything. So when we kind of take that and use that as our, create something from what we know, from what we have, or even learn something. So that's, you know, it gives us an opportunity, and we need to understand that everything is learnable. Everything is possible when you just put to it. And as long as we have a big reason for that, you know, I'm sure we'll find a way to do it, you know, because people say, you know, ask me like, what business would I start? And I say, look, it doesn't matter what you start, as long as you know why you're starting it, you know, you will find a way how to do it. I'm not the one to tell you how you do it because everyone has got his own approach and should have his own approach. I cannot, if I do service departments professionally, I cannot tell you what exactly you need to do if you want to start service departments. If that's something like you really want, something this business is really resonates with you and you have a big why for that, then you will find your own way to do it and be successful. That's what is true.
Yeah. I mean, have you studied the work of Carl Jung?
Carl Jung, no. Yeah.
He's a psychologist in the 20s and 30s, 1920 and 30s, and he talks about, he's a psychologist, so obviously it's all to do with the mind and whatever else, and he says that the human shadow, which is like its dark side, if you like, the human shadow sort of stops all the light coming through of all people, until we actually shine a light on that shadow, people can't achieve what they could achieve. Do you know what I mean? I think we all go for monetary gains and everything else rather than working on ourselves, when in reality the bank balance actually follows the emotional bank balance. Are you with me? It's not the other way around.
Yeah, it's like, look, I'll make this much money, I'll be happy, you know, but until you need to be happy before that, because that is not going to make you happy unless, you know, when you're happy, that will attract what you want to get, you know. So that's
£100 million doesn't make you happy. Well, it might make you happy for a short while, like a new car or a nice big house, but it doesn't stay there, does it? The feeling doesn't stay there.
Yeah, I like the someone was saying that, you know, at the moment most of the wealth, as they say, it's owned by 1 or 3% of the world. So let's say if we distribute all the wealth that is there, we take from the rich, let's say, for example. And it will spread evenly for all population, you know, spread that wealth, that money evenly. In a couple of years, everything will go back to as it is at the moment, because you know, people don't understand that by owning something that they when you buy something that you cannot afford, that you don't own that thing owns you. So it's like you need to create value. You know, we need to understand that we need to create value. As long as we create value to more people, you know, you get richer and richer. So it's personal growth. It's personal growth most important. And when you grow personally, that's how your bank account grows as well. It reflects that.
Yeah, agreed. But what people have you looked up to as mentors in your past?
Well, practically, when in practical terms, when I was beginning, but this is like very beginner level, I'd say, but it inspired me and made me move. It was Tim Ferriss and Robert Kiyosaki, Tony Robbins. These are the guys that, you know, got me into the world in a way. So I got me my vision expanded, and then I started studying. But you know, if you look at the people who I admire, and most of them are not alive anymore, but it's Gandhi, it's some of the philosophers, Stoics, that I really, Marcus Aurelius, I some of the guys that their philosophy and their writings, it's been alive and throughout the thousands of years. So these are the guys that really empower me now. But practically, that when I was starting, yes, that was Tim Ferriss, Robert Kiyosaki, you know, Tony Robbins. They were like drivers of my activity in a way at that time.
Yeah, I mean, that resonates quite a lot with me, with Marcus Aurelius and that ilk of person. Have you got any texts that you'd recommend for people?
Texts, you mean the books or something?
Yeah, the work.
Oh, you know, Stoic letters, I can't remember. But, you know, if you look at anything Stoics and Marcus Aurelius, and that would do, you know. Not much of them there out there, but anything by these guys is great.
Where do you see the future of business? Because I've seen a big change in the last 10 years or so, where technology is moving that quickly. Where do you see, for example, in 15, 20 years' time, where do you think the world's going to be?
Well, this is amazing, because I just love the where it goes, and it scares a lot of people. You know, these robots coming and robotics and bots and stuff. It takes over the jobs, but you know, I see such an amazing opportunity for people to be creators, to become producers. So you know, people don't need to understand that, you know, you need to change from the consumer to producer, to be producer first before being a consumer. So you need to create something, you create a product, and everyone can. It's just, you know, when we used to do a job, when we used to be in a job working for someone, you know, it's not easy to see that. But you know, from the moment you kind of step out of that and start thinking like a producer, start looking at the things differently in terms of, okay, why this advertisement worked on me, why did I buy it, what's the business model of this company, how are they making money, how did they get out, made this product and stuff. So if you look at things from that perspective, you start being able to create stuff, and we all able to create good products or services. And by having this, you know, bots and the AI at the moment in machine learnings, that we can empower and multiply our work and work less and produce more, be more. I mean, I think it's just amazing what's happening, and the ability to have your own TV channel, to have your own radio with your podcast, TV channel through YouTube, have your own admin, having these bots being admin, you know, creating these jobs. Like, you can have outsource most of your admin to other and by doing that you create opportunities for other people to and it's like I think it's just amazing what's happening. We just need to look at it from a different perspective, from the opportunity perspective, than from being a victim. We're not a victim of this, is the opportunity that's happening.
Yeah, I agree. I think with AI in particular that you've mentioned there, I think there is a fine line that we have to draw between, because obviously they are going to take a lot of jobs away, but the people that the jobs, they need to see the world differently. The perspective of the world needs to change, doesn't it? But I think there is a fine line there where it could actually potentially hinder humanity as a whole. If for example, they become self-aware, at what point does that stop?
Well, you know, anything like binging on anything is not good. You know, like even you can die from drinking too much water, you know. So anything in abundance, or what do you call it, abusing anything is not good. So of course there are limits, and you know, you can take anything and make it poisonous, or make it harmful, or on the other side, you can make it useful for you. So,
of course,
at the internet, you know, you can waste your time, waste your life on the internet, or you can create amazing things. So it's everything is you know, it's about us. You know, if we look positively, and we have, you know, I believe all the humans have a good heart, and if we look at the at creating value with what we have, I mean, there's you know, we'll succeed, you know, every time, every day, you know?
Yeah, it's just a perception of the world, isn't it? You mentioned earlier about victims and the victim mindset of people.
Yes.
Like, you know, the people like Tony Robbins and his type of motivation type speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I find those very effective to get people out of the victim mindset into, I'm going to create something for myself. I think there's a level above that as well. Mm-hmm. Where you sort of life sort of flows through you, where you sort of use, for the lack of a better term, the universe to sort of reflect out what's going on inside of yourself. With Tony Robbins and people like that, do you think there's something missing in the industry to take that person to the next level?
Well, there's always room for improvement, and I think for every person. Every person separately, you know, he's got his own experience, and he's got his own feelings from visiting one of the Tony Robbins events. And there are a couple of, you know, there are more opportunities out there. But the most important thing is, it needs to be consistent, and you can't just go to an event and, you know, and change your life. You can change your life in terms of, okay, you understand that, okay, that's the way I need to go. You kind of motivate yourself to do that change, to take that path that you wanted to take. But as long as you're consistent with that, like daily, it's like washing your teeth. It's like washing your teeth once a year and expecting your teeth to be clean. You know, you can't just go to an event or go to one or read one book and just be a different person. You need to consistently do that change. But if I think I kind of digress from from the question that you actually you gave. There are a number of things that are a bit higher, but you know there is a market. So when the market is ready, that thing will come. It will be bigger. At the moment, there are a number of things that at a higher level, but I think a lot of people, a majority of people. They need to, you know, kind of familiarize and get them at least at the you know at the Tony Robbins what he does. If they learn that well, you know, they will be ready to go further. But you know, a lot of us are not ready. You know, they're not ready for the higher level. And you know, to go from the bottom straight away to that higher level, that's, you know, it looks like nonsense.
You have to be ready. I agree with you 100%. What do you think that as a whole, as a whole society, I can only speak from the West, there is such a victim mindset? Because as a migrant yourself,
mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know the exact statistic, but you've got far more chance of becoming a success, however you define that, when you actually are a migrant, when you go from one country to another, when you haven't got anything, you've got far more opportunity within yourself. So why do you think that as a society, we have got sort of a victim mindset as a whole?
Well, I don't think this is anything about is about the West or the East, or it's about it's that's human, you know, the mind, it's got a negative thing about it, and that's what we have from the beginning of, you know, of humanity, because that kind of is self-preservation, you know, it saves us from danger and everything. So mainly mind is negative and takes everything in negative. So and when it's not about actually about West or East and migrants. What is different about migrants is that, you know, I can talk about myself, that, you know, I've seen the bottom, so I've been there sleeping on the ground in the bushes, and not having anything to eat for days, even a week sometimes, and when you see that the bottom, you actually not that afraid of, you know, of trying, you know, because or doing something new, because most of the time what stops us is about the fear of losing what we have, because that's what stops us. And, you know, by being in the West, it's harder because you already have some, you know, your basic needs, and you don't have that much motivation to actually change the world or do something. That's why we see a lot of you know, migrants or people that's coming from nothing, like doing big things, because there is a bigger motivation. Or for me, it was fear of getting back to where I was, and that fear still drives me. I'm still like fearsome of, you know, shit happening not in the way you know, I'm expecting, and I would end up back again, and that fear drives me forward. And but when you have everything, you know, all your basic needs covered, it's harder to find that motivation, and you need to find good reasons, and you need to find good carrots to run to. I think that's the important thing. And if you look at how this can help, it's by thinking about the death. Yeah, so like, look, we're all gonna die at one point, but what is the legacy we're gonna leave? How are we gonna be remembered by our kids, you know, by people who are coming? Either we come like invisibly, we come naked, we go naked, we come with nothing, go with nothing. That's, you know, that's how it's happening. But do we leave anything, a legacy to, will we be remembered by our children or grandchildren for something? And we all have an opportunity to create that legacy by, you know, writing a book, recording, shooting a movie, creating a business that makes difference, you know, teaching people, you know, there's many ways to leave that legacy, and we all can do that. So if we think about death, that look, we don't have much time out here, and by living in automation, the time flies fast. The days go, weeks go. Sometimes if you're on automation, just the time just flies, and you don't even realize when you are already 50 or 60, and you haven't done anything. But, you know, even if at that point you realize that it's never late to start. As long as you are alive, you have a chance. As long as you're out, you are free, and you know, you have an opportunity to do something to make a difference, even for one person. It's already you know, something that's achieved. So it's not about negativity. It's just the mind. Our mind wants us to fail. And I do these exercises at my Uncage event, where, you know, I do exercises for people to realize how the mind plays with them. You know, how mind creates the fears from nothing, you know, and we're stepping into that vulnerability, into how do we make a step towards unknown, towards the fear, you know, things that we fear to be ourselves, because we fear to be not understood, to be not liked or not loved. And that fear stops us from, you know, getting visible, and that fear is like links us within the crowd. We you know, we merge, so we are invisible in the crowd. We want to be invisible in the crowd, so no one can judge us and criticize us. And we need to understand that critics and judgment is something, is good, and we don't need fear from that.
No, do you think that fear plays, as you say, you're driven by fear to make sure you don't end up where you were previously?
Yeah.
do you think fear can be used as a tool? Because it's very often seen as a negative, isn't it? Whereas I don't think it's actually a negative. I think we need to embrace that fear.
Yes, and you know, I say if people that in my you know, how I see it, but probably there is more to that. But you know, I take it as there's two motivations to people, and there's two type of people: people driven by fear and you know, people driven by opportunity, by you know, by gain. So you know, and you can test it, and you can play with it with children. So one child. And you can test this philosophy with children. So one child is motivated by fear, one child by opportunity. I'll give you an example. So let's say I have a 9-year-old son. So I always like test him. I'm trying to get him to do something, and I'm testing different approaches so to see which one he responds to. So you know, if I say, look, if you don't wash your teeth, your teeth are gonna fall, or if you don't go to school, if you don't learn, or if you don't read books, you're gonna end up on the streets, by you know, homeless. And then you see that, I need to do it. So let you know, you see the motivation. But some people are not motivated by that. But by the gain. So if you brush your teeth, your teeth are gonna look beautiful and white, and you're gonna have a beautiful smile, and you know, you have that's very successful. That shows success, and you're gonna be beautiful. Or you know, if you speed read books, or if you're good at school, you're gonna be doing many things. You're gonna be successful. You're gonna be rich. You're gonna be famous. You're gonna be so. One person is motivated by that opportunity, but is motivated by fear, and it's not always work for every person the same. You know, so we're all different. And but for me specifically, I realized it's the fear what was driven me. Either it's because of I've been there, I don't want to be there, so that fear is present, or it's just that's how I am. So answering your question is different. It depends on of the person. So you need if it was me, I'll test it for myself. Either I'm motivated by fear or by the opportunity. So
yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, what. The people that you hang around with, there's a saying that you become the five people that you hang around with, you become the sixth person. Now, a lot of people have a hard time with that because they don't like to let go of certain people or certain events in their life. Have you found a big difference in your life when you've moved more towards, for example, opportunity thinking people who perceive the world in a positive view? Have you noticed a big difference?
Oh yes, massive difference. You know, there's a number of things that comes with it. And I don't, you know, again, I've got this fear-driven motivation. I make analogy with, look, if I'm stuck with these people, I'm gonna end up back, you know, in my where I started from. So I don't want to do that, so I need to change. So when I'm hanging out with people with opportunities that see opportunities that are positive, that people that empower you and support you, that you know what and inspire you, your speed goes up. You know, if you imagine you're driving a car, you know, your gear goes up, you know, you go up in a gear when you meet with other people. Imagine being around people that any you put an idea, okay, let's go, just an example of little thing, let's go to that restaurant, and you get this, no, that's not good, or you know, this idea is shit, or something like that, or whatever you say, the idea, it you get kind of judged every time, and that stops you from doing many, many things. And we need to, you know, I look at it even deeper, when because I think that people that who love us, who are closest to us, even family, they have a stronger power to hold you back, because they always want you to for their love. Of course, it's not something that we need to I look at it positively. Like, look, they love me, and that's why they want good for me. So if I make a decision to try this something new and drop my job, whatever I do, for example, and take this new opportunity, they're going to say, look, buddy, maybe you stay there. That's something already for you. You have already your needs paid and stuff. Why do you need to change something? Why do you need to start this thing that, you know, and being struggling with money and stuff? And they, because of their love, they can often stop you from doing more, a lot of new things. But unless you change, there is no change in your circumstance, unless you change your decisions and change your mind. So I think people, good people, people who inspire you, who can support you, who are positive and who are successful, I say people who are successful are empowering you to go quicker towards your dream. And if you're stuck with the people that you're currently with, that's, you know, your situation will hardly change, or your circumstances or your results will hardly change.
Yeah, I found that like a natural thing that occurred. Like, it just sort of happened naturally. I didn't fall out with anybody. I just started hanging around with certain people, and everything else outside of me started changing. I don't think sometimes we have a choice in these matters. They just seem to just happen, something bigger than ourselves, you know.
Yeah, and then, you know, some people will get it, and some people who don't get it, you know, like, you know, who cares? They don't mind, and who mind, you know, I don't care, you know.
Yeah,
so, and that's pretty much what.
We're nearly at an hour, mate. We're 10 minutes before the hour. What if you had to recommend one book for people that has changed your life the most, what would it be?
I'll recommend two for two levels, because if I look at my beginnings from where I come from, I wouldn't understand Seneca, for example.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I would recommend Seneca for anyone at a level who is at the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, who is at, you know, looking for success in terms of self-realization and stuff. I would recommend Seneca, but Marcus Aurelius. But from the level where you want to make some money and you're looking for opportunities and create some cash flow and stuff, I would recommend, you know, either Tim Ferriss' 4-Hour Work Week, or, you know, or Rich Dad Poor Dad. So just to give you a perspective of, you know, to give you more, to visualize opportunities, to see more opportunities and see the what you used to be seeing in a different, from a different perspective. So
yeah, it definitely open up your eyes to a different way of seeing things, doesn't it? Yeah, those books.
Yeah.
I mean, but as you mentioned, yeah, it depends on your perspective of the world as to what type of books do help. I know people who haven't read a book and they're mightily successful, so I don't think it's a necessity, but it sure helps. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
What do you think is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Ooh, well, I haven't been given big advice. What the advice that I would recommend is something that I've seen, I've taken myself. By noticing people, by observing, and I think the ability to adapt and being flexible and being spontaneous and not being flexible and adaptable, I think that's a big and being able to communicate with people, I think that's something that gives a big benefit to a person. Because change, you know, world is changing, and the jobs, most of the jobs now, they weren't there, or the good jobs now, they weren't there 5 years ago. So we cannot prepare now for 5 years ahead, because we don't know what's going to happen. And especially with the technology now at what speed, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 years. And the job we are now, or the things that we're doing now, it might well disappear in 1 or 2 years. So unless you're flexible, and being able to adapt to the changes, and that you're doing that by always continuously educating yourself and learning and being out there, you're gonna be in a bad circumstance. You're gonna suffer. You're gonna struggle. You're gonna be stressed because of, you know, you're losing something that you think or you're expecting to be there, but it's not going to be there. You know, most of the things weren't there, and most of the jobs that were 10, 15 years ago, they're not anymore. You know, and people studied for those jobs. People expected to, you know, be a life legacy, or to do those jobs for their life. But you know, it's just gone. You know, it's the life. The world is changing, and unless we're flexible and adaptable and growing constantly, that we're not gonna keep up. We're gonna lose.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Just to wrap it up, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
I don't know, man. I'm a student. I'm always learning. I'll take it as it comes. I'll improvise. You know, it doesn't matter what comes. You know, I've been in. You know, I think. You know, if you drop me in any country with anything, I can have nothing, and I'm sure that's in case of anyone who is curious and communicating with people and flexible, nothing will stop me. I know, and anyone. So if as long as I keep learning, I'm gonna be good, and I know there are gonna be challenges, there are gonna be struggles. I'm sure. And that's good, because that's another learning curve. So I'm gonna take it on, baby.
Nice. That's a great insight to you, your world, Vadim. Where can people find you or buy your books or anything like that? Where can they get you?
Oh, thanks, Alex. Well, they can find me by going on Amazon and typing Vadim Turcanu. They're gonna see my No One's Business book and the Tim's series book, the short books that I create. They're very, very cheap, like £2 something, a book. You can get a Kindle and like learn the thing that I've studied. I'm doing a lot of studying and learning. I'm doing about 500 to 1,000 hours every year of audio content. And that's not, I don't put in like the videos or the reading material, because, you know, I speed. View everything. I speak, hear everything. I learn quick. You know, I speed it up, because I think there's no time to get it slow. So I comprise a lot of stuff in short books, very short books. Now I have a book series that focuses on the topics, that how to write better emails or communicate well, how to read quicker, how to create an idea. So these are the you'll find it on Amazon and find me on Facebook, the same name, Vadim Turcanu, or my page, Vadim D. Turcanu. That's where you can find me. Just Google it. I'm there.
Perfect, mate. Thanks a lot for your time, and thanks for sharing everything you have.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
Cheers, Vadim. All the best, buddy.
Cheers, buddy. Bye.